The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 446, Mayberry Days Trivia 2017, round one. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers. There's some new stuff over there, like the Mayberry Sheriff Badge. Weavers has been carrying the Deputy Badge, but now they have a Sheriff Badge as well. So head over there and pick up one to go along with your Deputy Badge. There's also the Mayberry Police Department sweatshirt. That's brand new. Just got it in. Folks, and it's the month of October, so go over and get an Old Man Rimshaw print for your very own, all from WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and this is episode number 446, Mayberry Days Trivia 2017, round one. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank all our patrons who support us for being a supporter of all the stuff I do. Thank you very much. I hope you someday will want to do that if you're listening to this show. And this is something you find useful. Now, Mayberry Days was just wrapped up. I gave a report last episode about some of the things that happened during Mayberry Days. But one of the big events every year during Mayberry Days is trivia. So the way we do the trivia starting last year, the way it's done, there's two rounds. Well, there's more than two rounds. Round one is basically the trivia from that everybody participates in except past champions. So past champions are exempt, and they go on into the final rounds of Mayberry Days trivia. So this year there were six champions. Past champions that were there, I think, plus our youth winner. So all of them have a bye and get into the stage version of the show. So there's 10 slots. So the rest of the crowd was all competing for three more slots to go up on the stage and compete against our past champions for Mayberry Days trivia to try to be a champion. So these are the 17 questions that folks sitting out in the audience had to try to answer to see who could get the most and could join our previous champions on the stage. So we're only going to go through the first round. So this is just round one qualification round to make it to the finals. Okay. So the finals is made up of three parts, kind of like Jeopardy, but we'll talk about that when we do that round later this year. Okay. All right. So let's see how you can do. We're going to have a little background music for the, you know, a little trivia, a little nice little trivia music. There we go. So everybody ready? But get your pencils up. Folks in the chat room are ready to play. So let's go with Mayberry Trivia 2017. Round one, Mayberry Days Trivia. Question one. All right, is everybody ready? Question one. You can always pause it if you don't want to hear the answer quick. There's 17 of them. So keep your score. Question one. Who was buried on Friday, May 7th, 1952? Who was buried on Friday, May 7th, 1952? Wow. These questions are supposed to be a little easier than normal, but I don't know if they really are. So, all right, guys, do you have any guess? Any guess as to who it was who was buried May 7th, 1952? Okay, so the folks that are watching the video, I'm going to give you a little hint. There it is. All right, the answer is Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson, okay? Yay, Mr. Wilson. That was the answer. Now, who is Mr. Wilson? Well, you'll remember that Wilson versus Thorpe Pharmacy in Mount Corey in 1952. Wilson sues Thorpe's for refusing to sell him arsenic to kill rats in his cellar. Pharmacist Thorpe claimed that arsenic would be too dangerous to Wilson's personal safety as Wilson was not a responsible person. However, Wilson proved beyond a reasonable doubt that he was safe and responsible and won the case and purchased his arsenic on Tuesday, May 4th. Yes. He was buried on Friday, May 7th. So the answer is, who was buried on Friday, May 7th, 1952? The answer is Mr. Wilson. That's from episode number 6 of the Andy Griffith Show. All right, so all the rest of the episode, questions, we're not going to have that good of an answering session, but I just thought that one was too funny. All right, question number 2. So how did you do on that one? Did you get it? Arsenic killed Mr. Wilson. All right, question number 2. What business does Jim Summers run? Okay, no hints on this one because it's a hard one. But what business does Jim Summers run? Okay, that's all the time you're going to get. So, what business does Jim Summers run? The answer is he runs a meat market. And that's on episode number 7 of the Andy Griffith Show. Okay, so what business does Jim Summers run? He runs a meat market. All right, question number 3. How you doing? 0 for 2, 0 for 1. How you doing here? 2 for 1 for 1. I don't know. Me myself, I didn't get either one of these. I didn't get either one at the time. All right. So we're number 3. Here's question number 3. Here we go. Question 3. Now, Mr. Maxwell, you remember him? He was a New York City record promoter, and he wants to record folk music album in Mayberry. Barney, Ellie, Floyd, and some of the others convinced Mr. Maxwell to allow them to invest. How much does each invest in the venture? So Mr. Maxwell is convinced by Floyd and Ellie and Barney and some of the other folks to be able to invest in the record company. How much does each invest? Okay, this is question 3. How much does Mr. Maxwell allow the people in Mayberry to invest? Okay. The answer is, folks in the chat room are chiming in here. I'm seeing them. The answer is, how much does he allow him to invest? $40. Emmett Clark in the chat room. I see he got it. Congratulations. $40. That was episode number 19 of the Andy Griffith Show. So you can go and look up the answer if you don't believe we got it right. Now, number 4. Frankie Flint buys her father a pouch of chewing tobacco at Walker's Drugstore. What was the cost of that tobacco? Oh, again, I'm not getting any of these right. Frankie Flint buys her father a pouch of chewing tobacco at Walker's Drugstore. What was the cost of the tobacco? Oh, my goodness. Have no idea. Okay. So the answer is, it is 20 cents. That's how much the tobacco cost that Frankie bought her dad. 20 cents. That was episode number 27. Some folks in the chat room are guessing, but they didn't get it right. So how are you doing? Are you doing pretty well? I don't know. All right. Number 5. What does George Foley wear on the left side of his cowboy hat? What does George Foley wear on the left side of his cowboy hat? This one I got. This one I actually did get during the actual trivia contest. What does George Foley wear on the left side of his cowboy hat? The answer, if you don't want to know, you'll have to pause. The answer is a badge. He has a little badge on the left side of his hat. Little badge. All right, did you get that one? That one I got because I remembered what he looked like. So George Foley, would you recognize him on a porch by any chance? All right, so next question, number 6. There's 17 questions. We're going to move along a little faster here. I got to move it up. Number 6, where does Aunt Bee's cousin Edgar live? Where does he live? Aunt Bee's cousin Edgar, where does he live? Oh, that's a great question. And the answer is he lives in Mount Pilot. That's from episode number 23. That's right. 23. We got it. All right. So here we are. Question number 7. Name the two. Now you got to get them both. Name the two moonshiners that the Morrison sisters turned into Andy and Barney. So the Morrison sisters didn't like people competing with them. So they turned in these two moonshiners to Andy and Barney. So what was their names? Got to get them both. Name the two moonshiners. Everybody got it? Everybody had a chance to answer? That was number 7. So how you doing? I don't know. I don't know how you're doing. So the answer is it was Ben Sewell and Rube Sloan. Those are from episode number 17. I see in the chat room people are getting Rube Sloan. I see that. And no, Kentucky Mike got it. Congratulations. There you go. And Jelsic Stern in the chat room said it was Rube Sloan and him. You get half a point for that, I suppose. All right, number eight. Name the hairdresser who helped Aunt Bee with her blonde wig. Oh, they've thrown in a color one. Oh, this is terrible. Terrible. Terrible situation we have here. Name the hairdresser who helped Aunt Bee with her blonde wig. Let's see. How are you going in there? So the chat room is chatting away, trying to come up with answers. I don't see an answer. So who helped Aunt Bee with her blonde wig? Hairdresser. All right. Here's the answer. The answer is Bernice. Bernice. That was episode 194 of the Andy Griffith Show. Man, great job. This is the hard-eating men and beautiful, delicate women, Kenneth Junkin, that comes up with these questions. Now, these are pretty hard, so don't feel bad if you're not getting them, but these are good. Number 9, Mrs. Mendelbright withdraws her entire savings from the Mayberry Bank. What's the total of her savings? How much did she withdraw? Now, you got to get this exactly right. This is the other problem. Every one of these questions, you had to get exactly right because, I mean, they were really close, you know, so you had to get them exactly right. All right. So Mrs. Mendelbright withdraws her entire savings from the Mayberry Security Bank. Okay. In Mayberry Bank. What is the total of her savings? Okay. All right, so pause if you don't want to know the answer, because here it comes. The answer, this is number 9, is $3,600.43. $3,600.43. Boy, some folks got $3,600, but I'm sorry you had to get the 43 cents in the chat room. Good try, though. That was on episode number 104. All right, number 10. What is the cost of sundaes at Walker's Drugstore? Not the day sundae, you know, an ice cream. Sundae, ice cream sundae. What is the cost of ice cream at Walker's Drugstore? You got it? All right. So the answer is, here comes the answer. What's the cost of a sundae at Walker's Drugstore? It's 10 cents. 10 cents. That's a down payment on a husband's what that is. That's what that is. Yeah, that's a down payment on a husband. All right. That was from episode number 24, by the way. Episode number 24, 10 cents, the cost of a sundae at Walker's. Number 11, Rafe Hollister says his daddy lived to be how old? Several folks in the chat room got 10 cents, by the way. Congratulations. Rafe Hollister says his daddy lived to be how old? You know, how old did his daddy live to be? Good question. Question good it is. All right. Rafe Hollister says his daddy lived to be 100 years old. 100 years old. That's on episode number 56 of the Andy Griffith Show. Okay. So how you doing? How you doing? That was 11 questions. How many of you got right? Several folks got this one. Good job, folks in the chat room. So how are you doing? I myself didn't do that good. I think I got this one, the 100 one. All right, number 12. Aunt B buys her first car from Goober. Who was the previous owner of the car that Aunt B bought? Aunt B bought her first car from Goober. Who was the previous owner of the car that Aunt B bought? That's a pretty tough one, I do believe. Aunt B bought her first car from Goober. Who was the previous owner? All right. Here's the answer. Pause if you don't want to hear it. It was Jed Koontz. Jed Koontz. That's episode number 180. That's where that came from. All right. We're getting close. Number 13. Barney's favorite number. Aunt B's butter and egg man is Orville Hendrix. We know that. What was the name of Mr. Hendrix's wife? Oh, my goodness. You're kidding. What was the name of Mr. Hendrix's wife? Ooh, that is a tough one right there. Orville Hendrix was the butter and egg man. What was the name of Mr. Hendrix's wife? Folks, do you know it? So the answer is Martha. Martha. That was episode number 154. 154. All right. Number 14. What is Mayberry Municipal Code 404B? What is Mayberry Municipal Code 404B? Oh, these are tough. Some of the folks in the chat room got the last one. Martha, I see it. All right, guys, it's your chance right here. You can catch up with everybody. What is the Mayberry Municipal Code 404B? The answer is, you got to get it all, public drunkenness and disorderly conduct. If you can say it, public drunkenness and disorderly conduct. Okay, that was episode number 145. All right, that was number 14. So here's number 15. Number 15. Helen coerces Andy to ask Howard and the pretty county nurse to join them on a double date. What was the nurse's name? Now, this is obviously a color episode. Color. So Andy coerces, or Helen coerces Andy to ask Howard and the pretty county nurse to join them on a double date. What was the nurse's name? What is the nurse's name? All right. Anybody know? It's a tough one. All right. So here's the answer. The nurse's name was Irene Fairchild. That's a color episode. Makes it tough. I understand. That was episode number 185. All right. Two more questions, guys. How you doing? You got 15 that you've already done. So have you got, you know, 10 out of 15, 8 out of 15, or you're over 50%. You're doing pretty good if you're over 50%, by the way. All right, number 16. Floyd owns a shaggy dog. What was the dog's name? No, it's what is not his name, by the way. I know that much. What is not the dog's name? Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third, but I know that's not the actual dog's name. It's not what. Floyd owns a shaggy dog. What was the dog's name? What was the dog's name? Anybody? Anybody got it? Okay, here's the name. We're ready. Everybody ready? Here it is. Next to the last question. The answer is the dog's name was Sam. Sam, some of the folks in the chat room got it. Congratulations. I see it. That was episode number 50. Good job, guys. Good job. So episode number 50. So, all right, here we go. Our last question, number 17. What is Sheldon Davis's height? Oh, my goodness. How are you supposed to know these things? What is Sheldon Davis's height? What is Sheldon Davis's height? Oh, my goodness. I hope you guys know it, because I sure don't. What is Sheldon Davis's? I don't even remember who Sheldon Davis is, much less what his height was. Okay, so the answer is, because I don't know this one, the answer is he was 5 feet, 9 inches tall, and that's on episode number 53. Ba-ba-ba. All right. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Mayberry Days 2017 Trivia Round 1. All right. So how did you do? How did you do? That's the question. So did you get a lot of them right? Did you get some of them right? Did you get any of them right? Some of the folks in the chat room did pretty good, it looks like. They didn't, they got most of the, you know, some of the answers. Folks in the chat room, let's see how many they got. Anybody's reporting yet? They're not going to report how many they got right, because, you know, the people don't even know who Sheldon Davis was. They're all confused. Who's Sheldon Davis? So anyway, there is our trivia round one. So folks, we'll be having more trivia like that later this year to catch up and see how you can do with the total package that was done there at Mayberry Days. All right. So I hope you did good. I hope you enjoyed that. It was fun. These were pretty hard. So let's see. Indiana Steve in the chat room, he fessed up and said he got 2 out of 17. That's pretty good. How about all I could have done? Howard Sprague in the chat room got 4. Jelsick, he got 2.5 because he got 1 of the 2. He got Rube Sloan and him. I think that was him. So the folks in the chat room are weighing in with their answers. Anyway, so if you got 2 to 4 questions, you did pretty well. A lot of the folks in the chat room are going, they're all going, yeah, they were there at Mayberry Days and still tanked, is what Goober Fife said. So how did you do? If you weren't at Mayberry Days, then you have even more opportunity to have got these. Honestly, I wouldn't have got them right. And I was at Mayberry Days. I read the questions and saw the answers and I still wouldn't get them. All right. So we got another round coming up later in the year, but I hope you enjoyed it. But you know, as always, we have a great report coming up with our friend, Randy Turner. So let's go on and check that out. Here we go. Whoop, I got to turn the volume up. Let's see that. It'll work a lot better if the volume's up. So let's try it again.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Born on October the 1st, 1909, Everett Sloan was a successful stage and radio actor and a popular character actor in film and television. He also was a songwriter, which led to one of the more often incorrectly stated pieces of trivia among fans of The Andy Griffith Show. In 1935, Everett was chosen as one of a stock company of uncredited radio actors to provide voices for the popular news dramatization series The March of Time, which were newsreels shown in movie theaters. Everett said he played the voice of Adolf Hitler more than 100 times. The March of Time cast also included the young Orson Welles. Everett was recruited by Welles to join what became the highly acclaimed Mercury Theater, which eventually led to Everett appearing in what many consider the greatest film ever made, Citizen Kane. Shortly after the film was released, Everett originated a role in the acclaimed Broadway drama Native Son. The powerful production tells the story of a poverty-stricken 1930s black youth who accidentally kills the daughter of a rich white family for whom he works. Everett played a racist private investigator hired by the girl's family to find her. Frances Bavier, later Aunt Bee, played the Irish cook Peggy, who was kind but patronizing to the young black man. In 1950, Everett entered the new world of television. Over the rest of his career, while he still sometimes did film and worked in theater, Everett concentrated on a career as a character actor in television. The year 1960 saw an entirely new venture. Everett wrote the lyrics for a song which was included in the failed 1960 Broadway musical revue, From A to Z. It was relatively fresh from this experience that Everett made his single appearance in Mayberry. He was cast as Jubal Foster, who tried to blame Opie and the members of the Wildcats for his barn burning down when he had been the true cause. The episode was filmed in late 1961 and aired in January 1962. Everett's appearance in The Andy Griffith Show leads to the oft-repeated trivia that he co-wrote the theme to the show. This arose as a good many sources erroneously list the title of the series' theme song as The Fishing Hole. Some even state the song was written and recorded before the series aired, and that the producers then decided to forego the version with the sung lyrics and full orchestration in favor of the simpler whistled version. Earl Hagen composed the theme for the series during the summer of 1960. In 1961, well after the show had been airing, Andy Griffith planned to release an album as a soundtrack of sorts of the show. It is not known exactly when it occurred, but Griffith learned Everett had written lyrics to the series theme song. And it may be that Everett's writing the lyrics are also what led to him being cast later that year. When the album was released in 1961, it included two new versions of the main theme Hagen recorded for the album with the dance band. On one, he again provided the whistling. And on another, Griffith sang the lyrics written by Everett. The latter version was called The Fishing Hole. The sheet music showed the title as The Fishing Hole, the theme from The Andy Griffith Show. The title has unfortunately led to confusion by those who are perhaps only passing fans, and eventually led to the popular bit of misinformation that it is the true title of the theme. But The Fishing Hole was not recorded until approximately a year after the theme used on the show had been recorded. That's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Randy Turner from over at the Gomer and Goober Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild Facebook page. So thank you so much. This week in Mayberry History, if you don't want to miss any, he does a daily dose of Mayberry History. If you don't want to miss any of that, you can head over to or send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll make sure you get an email with all the information so that you don't miss a week. He'll send you a link to the post that he's doing weekly over there. So folks, hey, there is so much Mayberry out on the internet, some stuff that you really don't want to miss. As I mentioned earlier, this is October here. It's just begun here in the podcast world. So I want to make sure you go over to imayberry.com this month and go over there and pick up or check out the old Rimshaw place, because that's only available during the month of October. And you can go over and pick up some Floyd O'Lanterns, a Barn O'Lantern, an Opie O'Lantern or a Goober O'Lantern. And when you go there, there's music and there's some eyeballs that follow you around and an axe that's floating around. So be careful over at the old Rimshaw place website. So go check it out and download free pumpkin patterns. That's what you can do. You can get a pumpkin pattern so that you too can, you can cut out your very own pumpkin pattern from the old Rimshaw place. And be careful, because Mr. Rimshaw is looking around in there. So you don't want to have him catching you running around. So folks, that's a great thing to do. Imayberry.com. Go and check that out as well. So folks, I hope that you have enjoyed yourself here in Mayberry tonight. It's always a pleasure for me to be here and to visit with you. We've got some feedback from last week and some reports from Mayberry Days. I would love to hear your report. Give me a call at 888-684-8415 and report back. Let us know what you thought of Mayberry Days. We've got some coming up next week. I believe we should be able to get those in, and I'd love to have more. We got both written and voicemail versions. Love to hear from you, so give me a call, or you can email me, as I said, at floyd@imayberry.com. Just drop over at twochairsnowaiting.com and you will be able to, right there in the top of the page, there is a contact button that you can see. When you go there, just click the contact button, and it'll take you right to the contact. So, folks, until next time, have a great Mayberry week. And I outdid my music. So we'll see you guys next time right here on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.